How many need some changes in your life this coming year? Probably most of us need some changes of some sort. And I believe that God is able to bring about the changes that we need. Certainly, He is able, well able. You know, there might be some good changes, and there might be some not so good changes. In fact, I remember hearing about, speaking of changes, a man that went to the store to buy his wife a Christmas gift. I know Christmas is behind us, but he went to the store. He asked the owner, well, that is the person working behind the counter, do you have a necklace? I want to buy a necklace for my wife, Jeremy, for Christmas. And so the worker came back and brought a necklace, handed it to him. He looked at it. He said, how much did it cost? The person said, $75. He said, do you have anything cheaper than that? And so she went behind the counter, found another necklace, brought it up to the counter, put it down, and said, well, my, that sure is nice as well. How much does it cost? The person said, $50. Said, well, do you have anything cheaper than $50? Said, well, she went back and looked again and found another necklace, brought it up to the counter, laid it down, and said, well, that's nice, said the man looking for a necklace for his wife. How much does it cost? She said, $25. And he said, do you have anything else? So she went back and found another one and put it on the counter and said, here. He looked at it. He said, well, how much does this one cost? She said, well, that's going to be about $20. He said, you got anything cheaper than that? She reached down and handed him a mirror and said, here, look in the mirror. That's cheaper than all that I put. But there's some good changes and some bad changes, all right? Hey, look, speaking of changes, we had the privilege of being here Thursday night all night long. We got here about 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and our youth were here in a lock-in, Brother Chris, all night long. I mean, it was a great privilege to share the Word of God 2 or 3 times during the night, praying for the young people, pouring into them, challenging them one by one, counseling with them all night long. We stayed up all night long. In fact, the sun was rising on Friday morning. Chris and I were the last ones to leave about 11 o'clock on Friday morning. And someone's well said, if you want to stay young, hang around young people. But if you want to die young, try to keep up with them. Amen and amen. But anyway, we had a great time. It's been a great week. I believe the Lord has wanted to bring some changes in our life. How many of you today would say, Pastor, I'm asking God in this new year, 2017, to restore my faith in Him? There's a lot of people that are discouraged today, as I mentioned to you. Yesterday, for example, I got a call from a man I don't even know. He called me from Ringgold, Georgia. Somehow or another, he got the number, and I was here at the church, and he said, Pastor, you don't know me, but he said, my wife left me, and she's accused me of doing this and that, and he said, I'm real discouraged and depressed. Will you pray for me? And I said, yes, I will. His name was Steve. And so we prayed right there. As I mentioned to you a moment ago, people are discouraged today. I believe that we all need our faith to be restored. We need our trust in God to be restored. We need our joy back again. There's so many Christians today that seemingly are not enjoying the presence of God. There's no joy in our heart. In fact, when you sing, Jeremy, I'm sure you can look around and see the people of God. So many of us are going through much. When we leave church, it seems like the enemy keeps us bound down. Oh, but today can be a new day. Changes in the new year. Changes in the new year. How many need your vision to be renewed? You've lost your vision. You say, you know, I'm not really sure what God wants to do in this coming year, 2017. How many need your passion to love the Lord and your compassion to reach out to lost people? We need renewal today. I believe God wants to bring a revival. I understand it's January the 1st, but I need a Holy Ghost revival. You need a revival. We all need to be restored to God. And so today what we're going to do is look at a man that was restored that needed two places, two changes in his life. And the Lord has been speaking about this week. Two changes. Do you need a revival of restoration, number one? And number two, do you need a revival of reconciliation? I want to invite you to turn to the Bible in the book of Psalm chapter 51. You're very familiar with this psalm. Psalm 51, if you'd like to stand as we read the wonderful word of God, may God bless us today as we start this new day of this new year, saying, God, I want all you've got for me in the coming year. Lord, I need a double portion of your spirit. Lord, I'm not sure what the future holds, but I do know you hold the future. And today, dear God, I'm asking you to restore my joy. I'm asking you to quicken your word in my heart. I'm asking you to strengthen my hands to face the challenges in the coming year. In the book of Psalm chapter 51, you're very familiar with this. This is King David's confession. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Psalm chapter 51. If you're there, say amen. Have mercy upon me. Underline all the times that David says me. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. David needed a spot remover. You ever needed a spot remover? I mean, that'll take it out. That's something that... Blot out my transgressions. Now notice the progression here. Transgressions. Now look at verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Transgressions, iniquity. And cleanse me from my sin. Transgressions, breaking the law of God. Iniquity, that we are apart from him. And our sin, missing the mark. Look at verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest in the inward parts and in the hidden part that thou makest me to know wisdom. Thou desirest truth, in verse number 6. Now go to verse number 7. Purge me. Notice the times he says, me. Are we personal today? Today, I believe the Lord is wanting to speak to us about some things in our life that are keeping us from enjoying fellowship with God. And instead of worrying, and instead of being anxious, and instead of being stressed, instead of having no peace, that God is saying, hey, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Look at verse number 7. Purge me with hyssop. Hyssop was a plant. It grew out of a wall, used 3 times in the Bible. Hyssop, purge me with hyssop. One time in the Passover lamb, one time with lepers. The 3rd time hyssop is used in the scripture is in regards to the red heifer in Numbers chapter 19. As the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, they were told to take the ashes of a red heifer along with this hyssop and a ribbon and burn the heifer, put it in water, and this was a purification for the people of God. Purge me with hyssop. Look at verse 7 again. And I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Oh, bless the Lord. Look at verse number 8. Make me to hear joy. I'm telling you, brother and sister, if there's ever a time the people of God needed to rejoice in the Lord, it's today. We need joy back in our life. We need the glory of God back in our life. Oh, I know we're facing troubles and trials, but God, may you ring the bells of heaven in our heart today. Make me to hear joy and gladness, and the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Verse 9, hide thy face from my sins. Blot out. David needed a spot remover. Blot out. I'm glad that God doesn't rub it in, but he rubs it out. Blot out all of my iniquities. Look at verse 10. Create within me a clean heart. Isn't that your cry today? Isn't that your plea today? Isn't that your prayer today? Oh God, Lord, everything in me that's unlike you. Create within me a heart for you, a love for you. Not religion, but relationship. I'm not going through the motions, but intimacy. Fellowship. How many need today, God, to restore your fellowship? Look at this. In verse number 10 again, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. We know today in the New Testament we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. We can quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. But we can be filled with the Spirit because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Thus, once you've been saved, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. However, that doesn't mean that you're living a Spirit-filled life, or I'm living a Spirit-filled life. God, restore a Spirit-filled life, overflowing control by the Holy Spirit today. I believe there's a lot of us here today that need that. Look at verse number 12. Restore unto me, look at this, the joy of thy salvation. Let's say it together. Restore unto me The joy of thy salvation. Say it one more time. The joy of thy salvation. We're told by scholars that word joy has two meanings. It has to do with the root meaning of the Hebrew word white and bright. It has to do with a lily, white and bright. A lily is a bright flower. Restore unto me the brightness of my relationship with you. Tell me, look at me here. Are you happy today? Why aren't you happy? What's going on? The devil robbed us of our joy? Has the devil robbed us of enjoying the glory and the provisions and the power of the living Christ? Oh, listen, beloved. We need revival, restoration. Look at it again. Oh, I know we can go through the motions, but wait a minute. Restore unto me, verse 12, the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Look at verse 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Once we've been restored, once we're back in fellowship, once we enjoy the Lord once again, then we can become more useful. Then we can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Then we can make a difference in people's lives. Then we can speak blessings. How many of you dads want to say, you know, I want to start leading my family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? How many of you moms want to say, oh God, this new year, I want to be that godly mama? How many servants of God want to say, dear God, this year, I want to pour into people. I want to be a blessing to people. Wait a minute. David of old said, verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Skip down to verse 17. The sacrifices of God are of a broken heart, and of a broken and contrite, a broken spirit. Excuse me, verse 17 again. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, and a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. This is the word of God, and may God bless it to our heart today. The subject of, oh, listen, changes in the new year. What are you going to ask God to do in your heart? Changes in the new year. You need to change, don't you? You hadn't been happy, have you? Oh, listen. Father, thank you that you know us, you love us, you made us, you bought us, you're coming back for us. And Father, my greatest need today is to be in fellowship with you. My greatest need today, Father, is to have your blessings on my life. And Lord, I'm convinced every person here, our greatest need today is to enjoy your presence and be restored back for our purpose and plan. And joy, once again, the enemy has tried to steal. And God, I pray today you'll encourage us as we've already been blessed by the music. And Father, the word of God will fall on good ground. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for your blood. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for your promises. Now get glory, Lord. Get all that is to us. And Father God, again, may we see you, Jesus, high and lifted up, because it's about you. And we love you now and bless you now. For victory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Here's where we're going. Two places. There are two changes that I think you need and I need in my life. Number one, the change. Do you need a revival of restoration? We find that in verses 1 through 12. A revival, and that is a revival or restoration. David needed to be restored. But number two, and very briefly, not only do we need a revival of restoration, but secondly, a revival of reconciliation. I've got a feeling, are you listening? I got a feeling today there's a lot of us that have been through Christmas and the new year, and we're just stressed, and we've been running from here and there. We're trying to please everybody, to do everything we got to do and go everywhere we need to go. But sometimes our relationships get strained. Sometimes relationships with husbands and wives can get stressed. Sometimes our relationships with our family, though we want it to be good, yet because of all the activities, for some reason or another, we're not connecting, and therefore we need a revival of reconciliation. I don't know exactly what you've been through this coming. Yes, I know the Lord is able to restore our relationship with him. Number one, do you really need a revival of restoration? If you'll notice, David, he messed up. David did something wrong. But David wanted to make it right. Are you willing to make it right? Hey, look, David didn't excuse his flaws, his fault. David was willing to be honest with God, and David wanted the blessings of God. And David, listen, was able to do and wanting to do, are you? Whatever it took to get right with God. Oh, listen, God loves us and God's... Number one, we need a revival of restoration. I see a lot of Christian people that once were on the firing line, no longer on the firing line. I see a lot of God's people who once were sold out. Slack. Can I get a witness? Slack. I see a lot of God's people who are just kind of, it's easy to get that way, lukewarm and indifferent and cold and not really have the fervency and the fire of God in our hearts. Lord, revive us again. Lord, restore us again. Lord, quicken your life in us again. Number one, David did something wrong, but David was willing to make it right. It's one thing to be wrong. It's another thing to make it right. Number one, David did something wrong. You're well aware of the count. You know what happened. David's up on the hill. That is, he's on the palace when he should have been out to war. It was springtime, and David learned a valuable lesson that idle lips are the devil's mouthpiece and idle time is the devil's workshop. David's up on them. And David is looking, and David is, perhaps David, listen, he is probably maybe looking up in the sky, saying, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. He's praising God. He's worshiping God. Don't you know the devil's going to come and hit you when you start worshiping God? And the devil's not going to be happy with us walking in the light as he is in the light. David might have been saying, as he did in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. And then all of a sudden, David saw, he couldn't help what he saw. There was a woman bathing. Can you see her? Oh, yes, the moon was shining. He could see just enough to see there was a woman shining, and that is a woman bathing, and the moon was shining. And he could have, gone this way or that way. David, be careful. David was looking. David was thinking. David was acting. No wonder God says there's no temptation that has taken you but such as common to man. God is faithful to not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. But will with the temptation make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No wonder that James says when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, bringeth forth death. David, be careful, son. David, you can't help the first look. But David, put a guard on your eyes. Job said, Job 31:1, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon the maid? No wonder Paul wrote in Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with his affections and lusts. No wonder Paul wrote in Romans 13:14, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. No wonder Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, the light of the body is thy eye. If thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. David looking, and David was thinking. David was acting. Hey, listen to me. It's a proven fact. It's no secret that men are stimulated. Men are motivated by visual, by our what we see. Though David is looking, he's thinking about, watch out, be careful, David. The devil's going to play havoc on your mind. Now listen, women, on the other hand, it doesn't matter if it's some visual scene or we're told that a lot of women like to read novels and romance stories because there's fantasy in that. And you equally, whether you're a woman or a man, equally, your mind can run away with you. Can I get an amen? That's why we need to be restored. Dear God, create within me a clean heart. Dear God, purge me with hyssop. Now listen to me. There's nothing wrong. Listen, there's nothing wrong with being attracted to the opposite sex. God made us that way. That is, and to meet those physical needs within the confines of marriage. However, the devil has perverted a God-given desire. And we're living in a world, but we don't have to be of the world because greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. And when we get trash in, we get trash out. We can't get it out of the computer. It won't delete. I mean, once that thing is gone in our mind, David looked, David lusted, David lied, and then David learned. David sees this woman, and I don't know the whole account, but in my own imagination, my mind, I can imagine he saw her as she got out of the bathtub, shower, whatever it is. I've been in the Middle East, and I know some situations, even in the mission field, it's an outside bath, and I don't know, but I'm telling you this, in the moonlight, I can almost imagine, or at least when David saw her, she couldn't imagine with me for a moment. You know, I'm just being honest with you, okay? We can play church and be kind of hush-hush about things like this, or we can deal with it and thank God be restored. And you see, she couldn't find a towel. Maybe she had to reach out, and her image was clearly seen by David. And David saw. And when sin had conceived, it bringeth forth death, lust, and sin, and death. And oh, listen, he wasn't satisfied then. Again, marriage is honorable, the bed undefiled. That's Hebrews 13:4. Proverbs 5:18. Solomon wrote, hey, how many believe we need a healthy, wholesome, biblical view of sex? The world doesn't know what we need. God made us. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18. You know what God said? He said, let thy fountain be blessed. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. I'm not going to tell you what else it says. It's even more graphic than that. But if we're not addressing it, who is? The secularist? And the world, wait a minute. Again, there's nothing wrong with those desires. That's a God-given thing. Somebody's well said, you know you're getting older, speaking of what we're talking about. You know you're getting older when you're glad the mirror's fogged up when you get out of the shower. Can I get an amen? I'll tell you, speaking of this, I called a lady one time, 97 years old. She was in Westbury nursing home over in Jackson, 97. I tried to reach out to her, tried to pray with her, and was reaching out, praying with her. I knew this dear lady and was close with her. Anyway, I called her one day. This has been a few years ago. I said, how you doing? She said, you know how sometimes as we get older, we talk louder. She said, I'm doing all right, Pastor. She said, I'm just getting out of the bathtub, 97 years old. I'm just getting out of the bathtub, sitting here dripping wet, and I can't find a towel. I said, too much information, all right? Please, spare me with that. Time out. I don't have to hear all that. By the way, I visited a lady just the other day, 101 years old. Her name's Ruby, 101. She just turned 101, November the 6th. I said, Ruby, how you doing? I said, Ruby, how you feel every morning you wake up? She said, surprised, all right? This dear lady, she gives a garden every year. I said, Ruby, how was your garden this year? She said, I'm not able to do what I once could do. All I had was tomato plants. I said, hallelujah, that was more than I had. All right. Hey, look, David, but David, you well understand that David sent for this woman and David committed adultery, and that's the context and the background of Psalm 51. Oh, God, help us. And then trying to cover up his tracks, scene 2 unfolds, and there is the prophet of God, namely the man named Nathan. I'm glad that God sends godly men and godly women in our life to sometimes lovingly tell us the will of God and the word of God. Aren't you? I'm glad. I need that. I don't know if you do or not, but I need that. I need accountability, and you and I need accountability. And so Nathan comes and tells him a story. You're very familiar with a rich man, a poor man. Poor man, this rich man took his only ewe lamb, and David said, that man ought to be restoring fourfold. Nathan looks at him and says, in his face, you the man. You the man. Hey, I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost of God can easily come to us today and say, you know what? We're not all lily white either. But you don't have to leave that way. Come on, talk to me. Have you had a bad attitude? Have you been selfish and rude? Have we been talking about people? Have we entertained things in our life that we know are not becoming? Hey, look, God's saying this. He loves us. He wants us to be restored. Our relationship with him, our fellowship with him, our intimacy, our joy. David is saying this. Oh, God, my bones are hurting. Have you ever gotten out of the will of God? How many have ever gotten out of the will of God? All those that didn't raise your hand, you're lying. You're lying. You've gotten out of the will of God. We've all gotten out of the will of God. We've all sinned. And there's none righteous, no, not one. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And listen to me, beloved. It's easy to slip during Christmas and holidays. Are y'all like me? Isn't it easy to slip? Isn't it easy to compromise? Yeah, it is. It's easy to entertain. It's easy to get a bad attitude. It's easy to get a know-it-all attitude. It's easy, watch this, to get critical and judgmental. It doesn't matter what it is, but God, I need a revival of restoration. I don't want to go in the new year just playing games. I don't want to go in the new year mourning and whining and complaining like so many Christians we find even in our own life doing today, complaining instead of praising God. Hey, I looked around this morning as they were singing and praising God. You know what? I know it encouraged them. By the way, all of us are not necessarily visibly and expressive in our worship and praise, but it's really not, and it is how we worship God here, but the real tail of the tape is when we go out there after church all week long. Are we letting our light shine? Are we being good salt and bright light? Or are we letting the enemy rob us of joy? Are we letting the devil eat our lunch? Are we allowing the world, the flesh, and the devil to keep us from heaven's best? A revival of restoration. Now, in the context of Psalm 51, again, David, in chapter 51, verses 1 through 12, God is putting it on David's heart. He had procrastinated, mind you, for how long? At least 12 months, because a baby is born. And so the severity of the chastisement of God, you hear me? The severity of the chastisement of God was immense because of David putting off his, not only, you know, adultery. By the way, you know you can commit adultery in the bed or in the head? God, create within the clean heart. Oh, dear God. And so he put it off 9 months. Hey, I can imagine David was like a lot of us. He had unconfessed sin in his life. He didn't have joy. The birds, he couldn't hear them singing anymore. Why? Something wrong. Something wrong, God. There's a cloud, a dark cloud hanging over my head. Why don't I feel the joy of the Lord? Why aren't I experiencing the deep abiding peace of God? Lord, where are you when I need you? Dear God, why am I discouraged and depressed all the time? Could it be that there's something, not always, but could it be there's something there and you need a revival of restoration today? I believe it could be. Now, quickly, David's consequence was terrible, to say the least. He paid a high price for not getting right with God. David did wrong, but David wanted to make it right. I don't need to go to the fact that his own son raped his own daughter. I don't need to go for the fact that his other son murdered his other son. How would that be in your own family? Your son rapes your daughter. Your other son murders your son. And on top of that, your own son tries to take your own life. I don't have to go into that. But David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Sometimes, watch this, we cannot erase the consequences of our disobedience to God. But I'm glad where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, and we can get it right with God. Sure, we might have scars, all of us do, but the point is, hey, move on with God. The point is, 2017, the point is, God's got more for you to do. David wasn't wallowing in his sin. David wasn't saying, I blew it and I'm no good, and God's not going to use me anymore. David knew the hand of God. David wanted the blessings of God in his life. Don't you want the blessings of God in your life? Don't you want the favor of God in your life? Don't you want to see God reign down his glory on your family and friends? If so, we need a revival of restoration, Lord. Me standing in need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me. And so David's crying out to God. David's saying, I've got to get this sin out somehow or another. When Nathan confronted him, you're the man. David broke before God. You want to be a good leader? You want to be a great leader? As one book says, from good to great. Do you want to be a great leader? We will never have influence in our family. We will never have influence in our jobs or in our community as long as we've got unconfessed sin in our heart. There's a price, isn't it, to get right with God? But oh, it's a higher price not to get right with God. David did something wrong, but David said, I'm willing to make it right. Whatever it is, Lord, restore unto me your peace once again. Restore unto me the joy. God, for some reason, I've been angry. Lord, for some reason, I've been bitter. Lord, for some reason, I can't get a breakthrough. God, I got to have restoration of joy. If I ask you how many have been joyful lately, probably most of us wouldn't raise our hand. Talk to me. The world, stress, overwhelmed us. We're not experiencing, and listen, beloved, if I'm not experiencing the joy of the Lord, how can I be a blessing to somebody else? That's why we need revival. That's why we need a revival of restoration. There are people out there that need Jesus. Somebody say amen. Can I tell you what happened this week on Wednesday? And I'm preaching to myself too, by the way. On Wednesday of this week, I got a call. And the call was this dear lady who is dying. Her liver is deteriorated. And she's dying. She's totally legally blind. And she's never been saved. Pastor, will you go talk with her? I said, sure, I'll be glad to go talk with her. And her age is 59 years old. She's not a Christian. By the way, there's a lot of people out there just like this, like that, right now, this time of the year. You know, when I got to her house, another person in the church member met me over there. I sat down to the table with her, and I began to share with her how Jesus can make a difference in her life, and how the fact that I went through all the fact that we've sinned and we've missed the mark, and God loves us, and Jesus died for us, and nothing else will take away our sin except the blood of the Lamb, and how Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And I shared with her how Jesus changed my heart and my life and made me a new creature. No, I didn't deserve it. And I shared with her how she could trust God, how she could depend upon the Lord, how she could have a relationship with the living God. And you know what she did? When I, after about an hour of talking with her, opening the Bible, letting her read the Word of God, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17, the rhema of God. And you know what she did? Tears began to stream down her face. I said, have you ever done that? She said, no. I said, I don't know if you're ready or not, but if you're ready, will you cry out to God? I can't save you, but God will. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And she said, I'm ready. I said, really? She said, yes. I knelt down on the floor and I said, I'm going to pray. You need to cry out to God. You need to ask God to forgive you. You need to trust in the finished works of Calvary. You need to put your faith and trust and say, God, I've left you out of my life. I turned from my sin. Trust in you. Will you do it? She said, I'm ready. Tears began to flow down her face. She's in bad shape. And when she prayed, she cried out to God too, like David did. Even though David had a different relationship, she said, Jesus, save me from my sin. Well, bless the Lord. When she finished praying, I said, did the Lord save you? She said, yes, He did. I said, amen and glory. I said, listen. And I asked her like I like to ask other people, how do you know? She said, I just know. I know. I asked Him to. I've never done that before. And I forget all she said, but it was obvious when she cried out to God. I mean, I'm not talking about a now lay me down to sleep, but really crying out to God. Hey, look, revival of restoration. Secondly, revival of reconciliation. A revival of reconciliation. This is very important, beloved. You don't know this message is important for you and me today because it has to do with what God's going to do in the coming year, 2017. Once I'm restored, once I'm back in fellowship with God, once I can say, God, I don't have to feel guilty anymore. I know that I'm right where you want me to be. Then, David said, look at verse 13. Then comes the revival, not only of restoration, verse 12, but the revival of reconciliation. Verse 13, look at this. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners to be converted unto thee. Oh, beloved, maybe it could be the reason that we're not sharing our faith more is because we've lost our testimony. We've lost our witness. We've gotten entangled with the things of the world. The world has so entangled us. Wait a minute. The world has so entangled us that we just go through the motions. But David is saying, I want to be restored back in not only fellowship, but reconciled to you, dear God. And then reconciled to my family. Anybody here say, you know what? I've had a fallout with a family member. You know, you can't get that thing right till you get right with God. And then really the Lord will have you to get it right with them, whoever it is. Changes in 2017. I love the account, and I'll close on this, the account of the young man that left his home. He didn't leave on good terms. He had gotten in a fuss and an argument with his parents. He left on bad terms. But God continued to convict him of his attitude and of his disrespect. And later down the road, he said, I got to get this thing right. If I'm going to be right with God, I got to get this thing right. You probably heard the account. It came to mind as I was thinking and praying. He said, as he sat down and wrote a letter and sent a text message and an email to his mom. This is the modern day account. And he said, Mama, I know that I've done wrong. I know that I hadn't really been respectful and hadn't really appreciated you and Dad and all you've done. And I'm sorry, and I've asked God to forgive me. And he had harsh words and other things happened. And he said, but can y'all forgive me? Can you and Dad forgive me? I'd like to be restored. I'd like to be back in a relationship with y'all, reconciled. He said, I tell you what, Mama, I'm going to head that way to the house. And I understand if you really have it in your heart, you're still mad, but please think about what I'm saying. And I'm going to ride by the house, and if you can forgive me, will you tie just a white string, a ribbon of some sort. There's an old tree there in the front yard, and just tie up one of those limbs, and that way when I ride by, if I see that white ribbon, I know I can stop. And so he made his way back to the house. He was concerned. He was burdened. He said, Mom and Dad, go and forgive him. Some of us need forgiveness today, don't we? He said, are they going to forgive me? And so he got a taxi cab driver, and he's making his way over to the house. He says, I can't look. I can't stand the thought of looking. He said to the taxi cab driver, would you please look for me? And I know we're getting close to the old home place. And he said, I don't really know if I should look or not. I mean, what am I going to do? If there's nothing there, I don't know. Will you please look for me? And he closed his eyes, and as he was getting closer and closer, he said to the driver, he said, we ought to be getting closer there now. Do you see any kind of sign? Do you see a white ribbon? Do you see a white string hanging in the tree? There's a big tree right there in the front yard. Do you see anything hanging in the tree? Please tell me. The man said, I don't see anything. I don't see a white ribbon. And his heart sank. He said, oh, what am I going to do? And the taxi cab driver said, I don't see a white string, but I see white sheets all in the tree. There's white sheets all over the place. You can stop. And the boy looked up and saw the white sheets in the tree. He had been forgiven. And he made it right. Will you make it right today? Let's stand together, can we?